Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning a brand new series, and I'm going to start talking about financial stewardship. Now, let me just say some things to introduce this, because you know what? I have a lot of people get upset when a minister starts talking about finances. And, you know, I get people that get upset because I even say things like this, because they think you're apologizing for what you're teaching on. So I get it from both sides. I get the people who like me say, you shouldn't apologize, just teach the word. Then I have the people who get upset that just turn the TV off before they even give me a chance to speak on things. But the reason I'm saying this is because I'm saying that I'm aware that there are a lot of abuses when you talk about finances, especially a minister. And I'm aware of that. And so for those of you who have had somebody manipulate you and do things wrong, I am aware of that. I am not coming from that standpoint. I am not teaching this for the purpose of manipulating and things. And the reason I say this is to try and get you to open up your heart, not flip the dial, not change the station, but listen and give me an opportunity to establish this. I am not saying this for selfish advances, and I'm saying this because there is a lot of material in the Word of God talking about finances. Matter of fact, I've never personally quantified this, but I had one man, a preacher, say that he had researched it, and there was like 500 scriptures in the Bible that was on the subject of healing, and a few less than that, prayer. And a few less than that talking about faith. And think about how big of issues those are, prayer and faith. And yet, there are over 2,000 scriptures that apply directly to finances, where the Lord used finances as examples for teachings and for different things like this. Now, again, I haven't personally qualified that, but I would bear witness that finances are something that the Bible talks about a lot. And so, yes, there's been abuses, and yes, people have manipulated, and there you've got, especially preachers, have used this in a way that manipulates and tries to draw people's finances towards them, and it's totally selfish. And I'm aware that those things have happened. And because of that, there are people that have a chip on their shoulder, and what I'm trying to do is to get those of you who've been hurt or abused, or you're skeptical, or whatever you're problem is with a minister talking about finances, I'm just trying to tell you that I'm approaching this from a totally different standpoint. I believe that I'm ministering this from a godly standpoint. And I encourage you to give me a chance and let the Word of God speak to you in these areas and listen, because I believe it's going to be different than the criticisms or the things that you have criticized in the past. And so that's the reason I say this. And again, for those of you who are all for it and don't have a problem with me teaching about it, I know that there's people that say you shouldn't say any of this. But the reason I position it this way is because I think that there are people that have been justifiably hurt by the way that ministers have manipulated and said that God is telling them to do this. And they get people and they've abused people, and there's people that have been hurt out there. And I think that it needs to be positioned or introduced in a way that acknowledges this and tries to say to people that I am not going to be teaching on finances for a selfish purpose. This isn't motivated by my own selfishness. As a matter of fact, you know, really, if I was to do just what I wanted to do, I probably wouldn't teach on finances, because there is such a prejudice and there's been so many people hurt by this. And there are people that have been receiving teaching from me and they have just been blessed, blessed, blessed. And now they will immediately have red flags and resistance go up. And I'm running the risk of some people who've been receiving and God's been touching their life just turning me off because of they will group me in with other people and immediately reject what I'm saying. So if it was just up to me, I probably wouldn't be teaching on this. But one of the very first things I'm going to be teaching in financial stewardship is defining what a steward is. And that's a person who manages the affairs of another person or manages the money of another person. And one of the main points I'm going to be making is that if you see yourself as a steward, well, then it's not your money. You do with it what God told you to do in the Word of God. Likewise, my ministry is not really my ministry. We have Andrew Womack Ministries on there, and the reason I named this ministry Andrew Womack Ministries, people think, well, see, you're just selfish, you named it after yourself. It's actually the opposite. I was not even thinking about a name of a ministry. When I went to incorporate, I hired a lawyer. We incorporated on the 28th of July, I think it was in 78. I'm not sure the exact date of that. But anyway, when we incorporated, it was the fact that I had not thought of any name that was the problem. And the lawyer, we were ready to sign the papers. I was leaving town. We had to get it done. And I hadn't come up with a name for the ministry. And he says, well, you got to call it something. I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to call the ministry. And he says, well, we'll just put it down Andrew Womack Ministries. That was the typical way that most people incorporated. So rather than this being a promotion of myself, it was actually a lack of thinking about this thing that actually caused it to be that. But my point is, see, that it's not my ministry, even though it's got my name on the letterhead. It's God's ministry. I'm a steward of Him, and I really believe that God has led me to teach on this financial stewardship. If it was just for me, I probably wouldn't do it because I know that there are so many people that have been hurt in this area. There are so many prejudices. People are going to lump me in with everybody else. And I wouldn't do it unless I feel like this is something that God told me to do. You know, recently I was over in Hong Kong and I was teaching on grace and the people were receiving great. But I just felt a nudging in my heart to teach on this subject of finances. Because here's another problem is that a lot of people, when they hear about grace and that you don't justify yourself in the sight of God by the things you do, that everything you do is a response to God's goodness, not in something you do to get God to bless you. When they start learning this truth, many people just start rejecting everything they've been told about finances, about tithing, and about giving, because with most people, they see giving as something you do that makes God bless you. And it's been presented that way. There are reasons that people think this. So when people come into grace teaching, many of them just reject all of the things that they've ever heard about giving because they see it as a works-oriented thing, something you do. It's like putting a coin in a slot and pulling a handle, and you just make God come out. And so people reject this. And anyway, as I was teaching on grace, the people were certainly turned on to grace. They were receiving the things that I was teaching. And I just felt like that there was a desire in my heart to teach on this subject of finances from a grace perspective, about how it doesn't make God move. It is actually a faith response on your part to what God has done. And I thought about teaching on that, but if most of you wouldn't have this perspective because you aren't ministers. Plus, most of you don't travel to these other countries. But around the world, Americans have a reputation for... There's a number of things that people are critical of Americans over, but one of them is most people around the world hate the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, faith, health, wealth, preaching. And they just have an immediate turnoff. And Americans seem to be the one that do this the most. They will go into these third world countries and go to preaching on prosperity, which again, there's a place for that. But I'm saying I think it has been abused and there are people that just hate this. So anyway, I was aware of this prejudice or resistance to Americans preaching on finances. And so because of that, even though I really felt a quickening in my heart to teach on that, I didn't do it. And I think the conference went for a couple of days, and then the pastor and some of his people took us out to eat and fed us a meal. And while we were sitting there, they just started asking questions, and nearly every question they asked was about finances. And how do you reconcile this teaching on prosperity with the grace and not manipulating God. If you give, then God has to give back to you. And nearly every question was right in line with what I was feeling in my heart. And after visiting with the pastor and his people, I said, I know that this is God leading me to teach on this. So the next day, I got up in this conference, and the people had been talking about how my teaching was a blessing to them, and they just said all these real complimentary things. I got up, I thanked them, and I said, now, if there was one thing out of all of the things that a person could possibly teach on, if there is one thing that you do not want to hear an American preacher preach on, what would that be? And immediately people begin to say prosperity, finances, give and receive. And they immediately just started yelling this out. I mean, there was no question. This is just something that they hate. And I turned around and I said, that's exactly what God has led me to teach on. And I mean, you could have heard a pin drop of that day. It just shocked people. And then I got up and I started teaching on prosperity from a grace perspective. And did you know that the people just loved it? Matter of fact, the pastor of that church in Hong Kong, Rob Rufus, has emailed me since then and said that they're still getting response. And they even had a person that was watching by the internet. I think they were from Australia. I'm not sure on that. But they got so blessed by this that they gave a huge offering to the church in Hong Kong. And he says it has just blessed them. It's helped them. And God used it. So I cite all of that to say that I'm aware that there is a huge prejudice and resentment against teaching on prosperity, especially from a minister, because people immediately just say that you are absolutely selfish. The reason you are teaching this is so that you can get more finances, so that you can have me send more money to you. And I'm aware that that prejudice exists. If it was just me by myself, I probably would avoid teaching on this. But I believe that the Lord has led me to do this. Let me just say that, you know, again, I think that those of you who have a problem with this, and I'm not saying that there hasn't been abuses and things said wrong, and so there may be some justification for the way that you responded. But I just want you to examine this, that we give away our stuff. Every time I give away an album, we're going to be offering this album on financial stewardship, and we will be offering it for a suggested donation. We don't put just a set price on it, and unless you pay this amount, you can't get it. We say that for the entire 6 teaching album, here's a suggested donation. Even for people who wouldn't send anything, we actually take the teachings and one at a time, we send them out free of charge. We wouldn't send them in this fancy album cover, but if you want the things free, you can get them one at a time. We'll send the CDs out one at a time free of charge to people. Plus, if you go on our website, we have, I forget the exact number, but it's over 300. Between 300 and 400 of my teachings are free downloads. Absolutely free. You can download them in MP3 format. You can watch my television programs free. Just about everything on our website is absolutely free. So I say all of this for the purpose of those of you who have a chip on your shoulder, whether it's justified or if it's just a prejudice that you have. If you are thinking that I'm teaching on finances so that I can just draw all of this finances unto me, well then, you know what? You need to reevaluate, because we make everything I'm going to be offering. You can get it absolutely free. You can go to our website and get it free. And so if you really are honest, if you will really open up your heart, hopefully you're hearing my heart that I'm teaching on this is because it is something that the body of Christ needs. You know, we're going through a quote-unquote recession, which I don't believe. But some people have bought into this. Some people are experiencing problems. And because of it, there's a lot of people struggling in the body of Christ. And 2 years ago, when this recession first hit, in the very first part of 2009, exactly 2 years ago, I took teaching from Genesis chapter 26, and I taught about Isaac sowing in a year of famine and receiving a 100-fold return. And I challenged and came against this poverty mentality and the fear that was creeping even into the body of Christ. And, you know, typically when I teach on finances, this is not one of my most requested teachings because, again, people have prejudice, they have hurts. They immediately lump me in with other people. They sit there and discount what I've got to say. But because I was doing this in response to all of the fear that was going on, did you know it was actually one of the most responded to and requested teachings that we had ever had, that teaching on sowing in a year of famine. And people received it because, and I believe that the reason is because they genuinely believed I was doing this for their sake. They didn't feel like it was manipulative and I was trying to manipulate people to send me money. But I was countering the fear about the recession and people believed it. And because of it, we had a huge response. It's one of the biggest responses we've ever had. Typically, when I teach on finances, the response goes down and the reason is because of the prejudice, the hurt, and all of these other things. I've spent half of this first program just basically trying to deal with those people who have a prejudice, whether it's justified or not, against this, trying to tell you that you need to hear this. This is an important part of the Word. Jesus taught more about finances than He did prayer, than He did healing, than He did heaven and hell issues. It's something that every one of us deals with. And the Lord hates this kind of Christianity where you departmentalize your life and you have a Sunday-only relationship with God, or you have a devotion-only relationship where you spend 15 or 20 or 30 minutes giving time to the Lord and then the rest of the day you're just on your own. We spend more time earning a living and dealing with finances than we do anything else, and the Lord has a lot to say about financial stewardship and how to manage our money and recognize God as our source. And He does this because He wants to be involved in everything that we do. There are some of you that have the attitude that when it comes to earning a living, that's your business. That's your effort. It's got to be all by the sweat of your brow. And you don't see God as your source. And because of it, you struggle. Did you know that there are more, statistically, the number one thing that causes problems in marriage is arguments over finances, differences of agreements over the way that finances are run. And you could just go on through, and I could give stat after stat after stat. There's so many people that just want to say, look, this is my spiritual life over here. I want to know about heaven and hell. I want to know about how to have a relationship with God, how to get a prayer answered. But when it comes to finances, this is just totally up to me. This is the way that I was taught. I go out here and it's up to me to produce. And that is a recipe for disaster. You need to recognize that God wants to be the source of everything. The Lord has a lot to say about this area of finances. And let me just use this. This is actually the materials that we used at my recent board meeting. And this is one of the things that was brought up at my board meeting. And this is one of my motivations for teaching on financial stewardship here on television is because as we went through our finances and looked at this, here are some stats that just blew me away. This really bothered me. You know, we don't know exactly how many people watch us. We have the potential of over 3 billion people around the world watching this program. And of course, we have offices in the UK and in Africa, South Africa, Uganda, India, I don't know, Canada, Germany, all around the world. But just here in the U.S., we have the potential of 300 million people watching us. We cover all of these, all of the United States, and we're on multiple times. We don't know exactly how many people watch, but we have about 85,000 people that we mail to on a monthly basis. Now, these 85,000 people, many of them are people who have written in and got our material. There are partners and things like this. And then when a person contacts us, over 50% of all of the materials that we produce and send out are sent out free. People don't send in a single thing and we give them away. And it's our partners who've enabled us to do that. And we do not just put a price on things and if you can't pay for it, you don't get it. Again, I mentioned that earlier in this program. So my motivation is to get the word out, not to just make a huge profit. That's not what we're doing. And again, people question your motives all of the time, but you can look at my actions, and I've done this now for 43 years, and you can say what you want to, but I have given even when it hurt. I have made things available to people when they could have paid, and yet I had to go out and take out loans in order to be able to help people do this. I am sincere in my motivation, and many of my partners are partners with me because they love this fact that we are helping people that could not or would not send in offerings and things like this. And many of my partners give vicariously through me, and they love it. They realize that they're helping us put the gospel out to people. So I'm willing to do that. But at this board meeting, here are some of the stats that were presented to me, and this shocked me. And it bothered me because, again, we don't know how many people here in the U.S. are watching, but we have 85,000 people on our mailing list that we mail to. And we don't keep a person on over 12 months. We'll send them materials in our monthly mailing and things like this. But in 12 months, if that person doesn't have any other activity, and this isn't just talking about finances, but if they don't order any materials, if they don't call in and ask for prayer, if there is no contact from a person within 12 months, well, then we drop them from this monthly mailing. So these are people that have written in who have gotten things, and they're all current within 12 months. And out of these 85,000 people, there are 25 of our partners that gave 8.2% of all of the money that we received last year. You know, that amounts to 0.029 of 1% that gave 8.2% of our total income. If you go up to our top 50 givers, that comes to 0.058. 58 thousandths of 1% gave 10.7% of all of our income during 2010. If you go up to our top 100 givers, those top 100 gave 0.11%, or just over 0.1% of the total people we mailed to gave 14% of all of the income. You go up to the top 250 givers, that's 0.29%. In other words, that's just 0.25% of the people we mailed to gave 20.7%. And anyway, I've got a breakdown. Let me just turn over here to the back part of this. The top 5,000 partners, that is 5.88% of this 85,000 people that we mail to on a regular basis, gave 63.8% of all of the income in 2010. And the reason I bring this up is when I saw this, I'm a giver. And I'm willing to give, and many of our partners are willing to give. That is not a problem with me. But when I saw this, I thought, this is not good. That there is such a small percentage of people who are actually making this ministry work. And for those small percentages, you know what? They are blessed out of their socks. Matter of fact, as I continue on through this, we will give you some examples of this. But I want all of you to be blessed. All of you need to learn these principles of stewardship so that you can prosper. And you know what? I've run out of time today. I'm going to have to quit quickly. But listen to our announcer. Please call or write and receive these materials on financial stewardship.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled, What is a Steward? Free of charge.
Today, I began a series talking about financial stewardship, and we have a CD album on this. We also have an As Seen on TV DVD album, and there's six teachings in this talking about financial stewardship. The very first teaching is going to be on what is a steward, and we are going to cover some things that I promise you could make a huge difference in the way that you steward the money that God has given you. So I encourage you to please get this. We will be offering the album for a donation of any amount, but we will also offer each individual teaching in here free of charge, one at a time, if that's the way that you desire. Listen to our announcer and please call or write today.
We are really stewards of God's money, and I realize that I am just a caretaker of what He's given me.
I didn't realize that everything belonged to God. And that everything I had was a gift, and I was a steward, a watcher over what I had.
God's word is true. When I gave and I trusted God, He came through, and it's been awesome.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma this week for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th. In Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th, and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta Church, Sunday, May 8th. He'll also be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship Conference, June 15th through the 17th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Andrew and Jamie Womack would like to invite you to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder. Foundation Builders are a special group of ministry partners that contribute financially, providing a firm foundation for building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers and making disciples who will carry the almost too good to be true news of God's love and grace around the world. Phase 1 has been funded and completed, and Phase 2 is now gearing up. Discover how you can help change lives by logging on to www.awmi.net/partnership. Change your life. Change the world. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.